Hey everyone, it's your host of See Jurassic Right, Stephen Ray Morris here, just dropping in to say I hope you've been enjoying all the new episodes in 2023 and 2024 so far. There are new interviews with filmmakers, musicians, scientists, the screenwriter of Land Before Time, audio essays about the rich history of the Jurassic Park and Jurassic World franchise, and all the news about the upcoming animated show Jurassic World Chaos Theory, and the as-of-yet-untitled Jurassic World sequel coming next summer. I really need your help supporting the show right now, and you can do that by leaving a tip and or giving a monthly follow on Patreon, patreon.com/seejurassicright. There are $1 and $5 tiers, but more is coming. Sharing the show, giving 5-star reviews in Apple Podcasts, and liking and commenting on social, at Stephen Ray Morris on Instagram and Twitter, goes a long way to help boosting the show's visibility again online in this new era. I'm an independent podcaster, and your support is so important and means the world to me in keeping this podcast running. Link to the Patreon is in the show notes. Hold on to your butts. Thank you, and now on to the show.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
I've been at work since 10. I am exhausted, but I'm so happy to be with friends.
9 p.m. Me too. And well, loved ones.
I was like, if that's as good a note as any to just start the show. happy Roar Halloween. Happy Halloween. See Jurassic Right. We're coming at you. It's your host, Stephen Ray Morris. I'm here with two very lovely guests today. Let's just dive into it. We're going to be talking the top 5 scariest moments in Jurassic Park. So who better than to have... I was going to try and come up with like a Halloween Luce Tomlin Brunner.
Oh, I like that. What about Luce Tomlin.
Brendan Fraser.
Oh, what's scary about him is that he had a bad experience and then got banned from Hollywood.
Wait, what?
No.
We don't have to get into it at the top of the show.
Okay, wow.
That's the spookiest story of them all. Yeah. And that's Bonnie Puns, a.k.a. Beaksels, a.k.a. Brandon White.
Wait, where's my scary name? Is it too much like Brenner? So it's
Brenner White people.
Oh my God, white people are scary. I accept this.
Brenner White Ghost. Brenner White Claw puking.
Let's just drop my last. Yeah.
Brenner White Claw.
Let's just drop my last name.
We are dropping the last
name.
It's
Brenner. Brenner. I'm so sorry.
Let's get into it.
All right.
Well, and Stephen, hi.
Hi. And me, I'm here as well. Stephen Ray Monster.
Ooh, I like that one.
That was a...
Stephen Ray Gun Monster.
Oh, that works too.
Ooh.
We're talking... Well, okay, because, I mean, obviously Jurassic Park and all these movies have scary elements, but, you know, it's... Luce, you know, I consider you a horror expert. Would you ever consider Jurassic Park a horror movie? Or is it too much of other elements that you're like, it would not feel correct in doing that?
I wouldn't program it if I was doing like a lineup, like for a cable channel.
Yeah.
I wouldn't be like, this is a specific horror movie. But I do think that it is scary and it's creepy. And it definitely one of the reasons I like it is because it's scary and that there are elements of it. I think that there's so much emotional heart to it and like environmental stuff. There's so much happening that it feels almost... Because people call it an action movie. I don't think it's really an action movie.
Yeah.
Either. I think there's elements of it being a horror movie, but I wouldn't put it in a lineup of other horror movies.
Well, yeah, it's not in service of like...
It is kind of a creature feature, though.
Yeah.
Is it like a sci-fi thriller?
No. I think it's a sci-fi action...
Adventure?
Action adventure creature feature.
Yeah. It fits into a lot of
boxes.
Yeah, what is the
Venn diagram?
Venn diagrams.
Yeah, a lot of little, yep, don't.
Yeah, and we're in the center of it.
I will say, though, that AMC has programmed it as part of Fear Fest because
They
had all of the Jurassic movies on this weekend. And I will say, I love Jurassic Park so much, but I was just a teeny bit disappointed because I wanted, like, really scary.
Yeah.
Luna is constantly scared of being eaten by a dinosaur, which I really respect.
Mm-hmm. Well, when I saw this in the drive-in, the first Jurassic Park in the drive-in with my parents when I was like 10, it scared the shit out of me.
Right.
I was in the back seat and I was terrified the entire time. So I think when I saw it, it was one of the scariest movies I'd ever seen.
Right. Oh, I mean, that must have...
And we'll get into it, but there was, body horror I had never seen before.
Right. But also, like, if you're in a car and they have those car scenes, like, you know, when they're in the
sport. Children in peril.
Yes.
That stuff is always really scary.
But it's like, I feel like when you see, like, when they're in a car and there's potential danger and you're also in a car, that's like, oh,
elevates
my God, something's going to come, like, bite the car and take us away.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because cars feel safe a lot when you're a kid. Like, nothing can happen in them.
Right.
And dinosaurs have, you know, stabby teeth, pointy stabbies. So.
McStabbersons.
That's pretty terrifying.
Yeah, I mean,
ripping, shredding, tearing, blood.
Mm. No, but I mean, because the kitchen scene. But we'll get into all that stuff. But like, I mean, as a kid, when I first saw it, I like wanted to run out of the theater, you know. Mm-hmm. But then also was like, but also loved it because it had the other half of which was like awe and wonder, you know. Because it's not just like the dinosaurs aren't just monsters. You know?
Exactly. I want to take back what I said. I would program it alongside the like 1980 movie Alligator and like maybe the new movie Crawl.
Oh, yeah.
And like another kind of reptile movie, maybe
like,
even Frog.
Like Tremors. Flaccid.
Oh,
actually Tremors tonally would be more.
Yeah. Like maybe like
ballpark.
Tremors, Lake Placid, Deep Blue Sea, Anaconda.
Ooh, Deep Blue Sea.
What was the one about the piranhas?
Piranha. Well, Roger Corman, who we watched Carnosaur,
the
he made the original Piranha.
So that'll be dropping simultaneously as giving you two doses of Halloween goodness.
Trick
was on
or
as well.
Treat. You get both.
which episode do you think is the trick and which one's the treat?
This one's the treat for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The trick is that Carnosaur is not a good movie.
Carnosaur 2.
Yeah.
Well, I'm not going to throw my weight around for Carnosaur 1 either. That's not a hill I'm going to die on.
Carnosaur 2. Too boring to be any good.
Yeah.
Carnosaur 2, Carnosaur Reloaded.
Ooh. Well, no, I was like, the hill I would die on is Congo. Like,
ooh,
you know?
Yes.
But it really is a good movie.
Congo's
you know?
Scary. Congo has scary moments.
Congo has some scary moments too. But you weren't terrified that when you first saw it. You just, because way back in the day, I read your email about like, you know, how it basically led you to drop out of your Mormon faith.
No. I did not find Jurassic Park to be scary. I like was exhilarated. I was like, this is what I need in my life.
This
like,
is the roller coaster that I want to go
like,
on.
Like, I think that, you know, in those scenes that are like, very suspenseful. It's for sure. I was like, oh God, what's going to happen? But like in the end, when the people that I cared about were okay, it was fine. I was like, this is awesome. Like,
were you like a tough child? Like, did you watch a lot of like scary stuff when you were a kid?
Yes, I did. My parents didn't like have me on any sort of
no
like rating restriction. Yeah. I remember watching Interview with the Vampire and being very like freaked out, but also very intrigued.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That was like sexy too.
Yeah, it is sexy. But there's children in peril. Kristen Dunst.
Oh,
you know?
Yeah. Claudia.
I was like, for sure, I'm going to be made to be a vampire and live forever.
I like how when you watch movies as a kid, things feel like they're possible. Like, yeah. This is going to happen.
Yeah.
That'll be me one day.
I can't really think of any movie that I didn't. Oh, Dead Alive. I watched very young.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah. And I was like, this is
the Peter Jackson movie that has
scary.
Probably the most blood out of any movie.
I don't think I could have. The cover scared me as a child. It jumped out at me at the video store. Every time I saw it freaked me out. Yeah.
Pulling the lips back and there's like the face inside.
Yeah, it's like a skull inside the mouth.
Yeah. Dead Alive really, really scared me. And I don't think I've watched it since I was a kid.
That makes sense. It'd be fun to watch it now and compare.
Yes. I think now, like, it would kind of, like, be more comical.
Mm-hmm.
Because
it is funny.
Yes.
It's a little more slapstick. Yeah. Well, yeah, I mean, my mom bought the first rated R movie I saw was Aliens.
Wow,
at
what age?
My mom got me, I think, like, probably like 10 or something. But it was funny because my mom was like, oh, this movie's rated R, but it wouldn't be rated R today, basically. That was like her explanation.
Yeah.
Because in Aliens, it's a lot of swearing and some violence, but
the gut buster.
Oh, I guess that stuff's pretty bad.
I remember being scared of Mars Attacks, and I was also scared of Independence Day. I was like very scared.
Because see, I liked horror movies, but I liked it. Yeah. I liked being scared, but I didn't like being scared like too much because I saw Child's Play way too young.
Oh, well, that's the trailer for Child's Play destroyed me, and then I couldn't watch horror movies for like 10 years because I saw the trailer as like a really little kid, and then I made my mom get rid of all of my dolls, which she actually just put in a box in the basement, which I found years later and was very upset about.
Oh no.
So I was like, they could have been trying to kill me this entire time.
Right, as like a unit.
And especially now that they've just been in a box biding their time
they
together.
They are mad at
they're
you.
Scheming.
Yeah, they're madder than they were when they were just staring at me from across the room.
They're gonna get on an airplane right now and come over tonight.
They probably
the sounds of the strings like staccato,
their little tiny tap shoe thing, their little patent leather shoes,
their sweet little hands that are actually very scary.
Yeah, because they're glass. I feel like a porcelain doll is gonna like break off the tips of her fingers so that they're like little super stabby.
New movie coming next year, Porcelain Doll.
No, yeah. They just cut that scene from Toy Story 4.
Yeah. Patent pending, that's my idea. I will come for you with my army of porcelain dolls.
You didn't see Toy Story 4.
No, I didn't. But
there's
like, Bo Peep's life in the...
No, but there is... Spoiler alert. There's a scary... I don't know if she's a porcelain doll, but there's like a scary doll. And she's
really?
Truly scary.
The first one is a scary doll amalgam. The like baby head on the spider legs. Yeah. That scared me as a kid.
Yeah, me too.
But then we learn that they're just like us.
That's true. Which is what
freaks.
We learn about the dinosaurs in the most recent iteration of
they're
Fallen
like
Kingdom
us.
Is that they're not as scary. It's us that's scary.
It turns out it was man who was the who was the beast. Well, yeah, I mean, I feel like I would say, well, I guess that's we're getting into our countdown, but like it's like almost specific scenes or horror. Mm-hmm. But then the context that frames it, you know, is what makes
it. Yeah, but there's a lot of horror movies that like The Sixth Sense is only really scary like 5 times throughout the movie. And it's like every time he sees a ghost.
That reminds me also of The Village, which
I love The Village.
I love The Village too.
Me
I know
too.
Of,
what?
Three people who love The Village?
We have to start a club.
Because I remember in 2004 when that came out and everyone hated on it so hard. And it is good. Especially these days.
The
way you can.
Is incredible.
Mm-hmm.
Who's the guy?
William Hurt?
Adrian Brody.
Adrian Brody, yes.
Wow, you guys have a real couple connection. I was like, clearly you'd be talking of William Hurt.
I know. Like, I mean, like
we've
the monsters.
We've kept the order in this town.
Sigourney Weaver is also really in that, good. Right? She plays like the leader of the village,
she's
doesn't she?
Yeah, I think so. Because I think she's married to William Hurt in that movie.
Oh.
Because it's
then
like
Joaquin
they're all the
Phoenix.
Founding families.
Oh, yeah. Joaquin, a boy.
Joaquin Phoenix is in it, and he demanded that none of his clothes be leather because he is a hardcore vegan.
That's very sweet of him.
Mm-hmm. I thought so too. And that was Bryce Dallas Howard's first movie.
Yes.
Yeah, like, and she's
great
plays
in it.
A blind woman.
Yeah, and I think she does it with a lot of like fucking badassery.
Let's watch The Village right after this.
Yeah, yeah.
That's this is Halloween the new movie. Village podcast. Yeah.
Well, no, I remember going to see it in what, like, I don't know, junior year, senior year of high school.
Mm-hmm.
And me being like, wow, man, I'm going to get the soundtrack. Da-da-da. Oh, what did you guys think? It's like everyone in my group of like eight people all were like, that movie sucked.
But like, I was like, so predictable.
Crying. Where's the twist? Where's the twist?
I did not predict it at all when I saw it in the theater. I was like,
I don't want to talk about the twist in case people haven't seen it, because I think people really need to watch it.
Watch The Village,
and
everyone.
I think it has like a really beautiful story. And even now, because a lot of the things that the reason that The Village is the way that it is are a lot of reasons that people would want to emulate it now.
Yes. Also, yeah, it is truly
quietly influential.
If you like, let it scare you, just, you know, let it scare you. Just
and like, scary things don't have to be scarring or fucked up. Yes. I think that's also the thing. It came out like 3 years after the first Saw came out, and so it came out right in like the fever pitch of torture porn. Yeah. So everyone's like, this isn't scary. Oi. I need to see a woman's body ripped toe to tip in order to be scared.
Woof.
And so if you like those things, there's like no, there's a little bit of shame, but I don't want to like, it's fine if you like seeing people's bodies get ripped open, but things don't have to. They don't have to be like that.
Henry and Ben on the last podcast, Left Side Stories, were talking like, Ben Kissel was traumatized when Henry was like, oh, Gorn, you know, gore porn. And he's like, what?
Gorn? I hate that one.
Yeah, it sounds like Al Gore.
Al Gorn? It's like the parallel universe, Al Gore.
Al Gorn. And then Henry's like, oh, let me take you down a little rabbit hole. And it was just like, oh, no. Woof. Not to kink shame anybody, but.
No, definitely.
Well, you would never.
Don't wanna... your own time. I'm not going to, I don't claim to be an authority here.
If you like the combination of those words, Google it. But if not, it is going to be what it sounds like, so don't Google it. Like, you have to already be into it.
Okay.
Wow. Steven just did a full body shiver.
Because I just did the Google search in my head.
Oh, no. You're so advanced. Google Ray Cyborg.
I can Google things in my head. All right. Let's talk about
Should we get in the top fives?
Well, like our five... Like, maybe we all give our like, fifth first. Choice.
Oh,
fourth,
oh, okay.
Like,
you guys.
It's the final count. Okay.
I don't have a list. I didn't do the research. Only, I mean, I feel like
you could come up with a
list. I'm going to come up with five right now. You guys go first.
I kind of want to trust your instincts and see. You're the control of the experiment. Hi, Penny. What's your scariest moment in Jurassic Park movies?
Those are really good ones. I didn't even think about those.
We got her on mic. Okay, so I'll go first just to kick things off. Penny Lane, why are you talking so much right now?
Penny Lane is very scared.
I just typed my notes and said Penny Lame. Burn, I got you. Okay, so my number five is it's because I recently rewatched it. Brenna and I recently rewatched it in theaters. Was the Indominus escape in the original Jurassic World, where it's the whole thing with like Lauren Lapkus and Jake Johnson are like, it's not showing up on the thing anymore. Then you have people in the cage, somebody in transit. Like, I feel like it ticks all the boxes of like, nobody is where they're supposed to be, kind of thing. Like,
yeah, I love
Chris isn't supposed to be in the cave or in the cage, you know?
Yeah, exactly. And it's like, there's scariness in like everybody not doing their job right just slightly.
Yes.
Like the idea that if just four or five people do things a little differently, that it could totally fuck something up and then everyone's dead.
That to me is, I don't even know. I mean, horror, it's certainly horrifying, but there definitely is like, you know, and some people get like ASMR type reactions or some type of like full body kind of like is when the plan falls apart and like everything fails. The person stubs his toe and then that thing, you know.
Oh, yeah.
And so, yeah, you're right. Like the Indominus escape is very much like Owen was tricked into going into the cage. The other guys went in too. Bryce Dallas Howard's on the road. Like everybody was just asleep at the wheel almost
and
for
that
minute.
Stuff is scary because that shit really happens.
Yeah, yeah. Just with a dinosaur.
No, just people not doing their jobs correctly really freaks me out.
Well, yeah, it's like, yeah, it's that kind of thing where it's
people
like.
People, when it's like your lives are in your hand, it's like, I liken it to like an airport. Like somebody like maybe not paying attention at like the lookout. What the fuck is it called?
At the airport? The control tower.
Control tower.
Or
yeah, like that person, the person waving people in. There's like a lot of people. It's not just a pilot. It's like a lot of people who could like do the wrong thing at the wrong moment.
Yeah, all the puzzle pieces are all shoved simultaneously, in the in the wrong way.
Yeah.
And yeah, and then also then after that too is then it really is freaky when it's like, imagine the idea of like this giant predator. I was like, look at all the examples.
So you're, yeah, Stephen has a bookcase full of giant predators.
Yep. Like imagining you're hiding under a car, like it's a gravel pit and basically your only protection is like hiding under the car, which I think like, you know, it's ingenious when it's like, okay, he's going to smell him. So he covers himself with oil. And then, but then at the last second, you know, going for the other guy and he's just looking so pitiful, you know?
Yeah. I like that too. Cause it's like that bait and switch.
Yeah.
Not like a total jump scare, but you're not expecting it to go in that direction.
Yeah. It's almost, yeah, you're right. It's not a jump scare because you know that the moment's going to happen, but it's mm-hmm. still just, it's almost like more brutal than you expected it to be. You almost expect it to cut to shots of somebody being like, ooh, you know?
Like, yeah, there's a couple moments like that in the franchise, which I really like, where it goes some dark places and you're like, okay. All right, we're seeing this.
Yeah, this is not a heroic death. This is kind of ironic or, you know, something like that.
Yeah, or just like way bloodier than you expect from a PG-13
family-ish movie.
Yeah.
What's your number five?
My number five is the Indoraptor chasing Macy around the room.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. The
that
bedroom.
That is very scary because she's so tiny.
That's the bedroom scene when she's like in her bed, her safe place.
Yeah. And you see the shadow and like the way it comes in through the door because it opens her... it comes in from the outside.
Yeah, from the deck or whatever.
And seeing it, the way it crawls along the castle.
Well, and Jay Biona said that he was referencing a Dracula adaptation from the 70s with like Peter Lorre or something. Like, so, but he basically was like, those shots were basically how Dracula gets into the house.
That is exactly, and then,
and he took it and then made the Indoraptor do it.
Oh, I love that. It totally has a Dracula feel to it. Yeah. Just seeing this creature on the side of the building, and the castle is so gothic and it's such in the woods.
The whole movie is so goth. I love it.
Yeah, it's really terrific. I feel like I've already talked about how much I love Fallen Kingdom on most of these podcasts. Yeah. But
well, I mean, it definitely, there is like a kind of like sublime horror in a way where like, I mean, when we'll get later down the list, like I think Jurassic Park, isn't straight horror in the sense because there is these moments of like, you're almost impressed at how horrifying it is. Like, I think when the Indoraptor climbs on the roof and roars in the moonlight, you're like, that's the scariest thing I've seen, but it's also the coolest. And also like the power of nature kind of like.
Yeah, definitely. Kind of and like, what has man done?
Yeah, what have we done? It's like very Frankenstein.
I was just going to say that. Yeah, yeah. I also think it's a really Frankenstein, it's like alive. All the images of it. Exactly. Yeah, definitely. And it is so much like the people coming for the Indoraptor, the way that the villagers came for Frankenstein. Mm. It's like not the Indoraptor's fault.
Right.
And like, he is terrorizing people, but like, it's really not, to have him be the villain is like not fair. Or
that's the same as the Indominus Rex too. And you know, it's like, you know, she's raised in captivity, doesn't know what it is.
Yeah.
Yeah. And the Indominus is almost, Indominus is more of like, like trying to raise a tiger in an apartment, whereas like the Indoraptor is more the Frankenstein, like the monster that we've created and it doesn't know.
Yeah, because it's just lived in that castle its whole life.
Yeah, it only knows kind of like people poking and prodding it.
Right, and this castle has a dungeon.
Yeah.
Which
is truly incredible and very freaky because this family lived there and then the whole time this like other project was happening. Yes, for good though.
Yeah.
Not for evil. Good.
Oh yeah.
Where do I get my collection of skulls? Oh, in the dungeon.
In the good dungeon.
Good dungeon. We on the weekends we do farmers markets and like pop ups for local crafters.
Oh, you do a pop up down there.
Yeah, pop up dungeon.
Oh, I love that. This is very good. Write this down.
Yeah, we're getting this down.
Wait, my top five.
And then so now you're fifth.
Oh, my fifth. I feel like mine are going to be very mild. So yes, I did make a quick list. I was thinking about it. I'm going to say number five being. I'm like not the least scary of this of the most scary, but I feel like the setup for Nedry when he's like trying to make things happen and you know he's like treating the Dilophosaurus like a puppy and then like gets in his car and like their one is to scare him. I feel like even though that moment is kind of predictable, it's like the whole buildup of that scene, like with the water rushing when he gets back in there.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. I really like that scene a lot.
Yeah.
Well, and the idea too of like the kind of playful sadisticness of like it's somebody who's like naive or doesn't realize, like,
yes,
but also almost like we don't really quite know either,
yeah,
because we're also just seeing this cute little kangaroo look like thing, like, yeah. We know that it's a sharp, we know that we should be a fairy, but you're right,
it, we like, haven't seen it spit at that point,
no, we haven't seen it,
or like when it frill. Opens up, yeah, frill,
mm-hmm. So it's like this weird dance of like, do we know more than the character? You know, does the audience know more than the character or not? And that usually, I feel like, goes into a lot of horror, the dynamic of, like, how in the loop the audience is. Like,
yes,
do you see
definitely.
The monster creeping up on the person before they know?
Yes.
Or are we kept in the dark and it's, like, a surprise, like,
and well, Brenna, we were talking about how like the water is already rushing down, so the stakes are already very high.
Yes.
Even though he's the villain, we see him already struggling. So we're like, okay, the struggle is this thing.
Mm.
Yeah.
And so it's like they have the dinosaur, then it's like, is this doubling down or is this just another, like, what is the bad thing? What's the thing that's going to get him? And like many obstacles and many bads, I guess, like in this one, like the weather is also really bad on top of it. So it's like, what is the thing that's going to get the person? And that kind of roulette of badness also makes it scary.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're right. Cause, and then they kind of almost fake you out because when he does slip in the water, it's like the little slide whistle. So it's like comedic effects. You're kind of off balance. You're like, okay, he's fine. And all of a sudden, you know?
Well, and I think that really speaks to also how good Spielberg is at setting up tension, because he is the bad guy. We're really not rooting for him at all.
That's
yet.
So true. Yeah.
We are held in suspense and we are worried about his fate.
You have some like sympathy for him or empathy. Which one is it? I don't remember.
Empathy if you can put yourself in.
Getting us off the island right now. No.
Yeah. It's empathy if you can put yourself in their shoes. So it's like the fact that you can be in his position despite him really doing all the worst stuff.
Yep.
Because then you're like, oh shit, there's no way out for this guy. Because you want him to get his comeuppance, but then you're like, do I want all of this to happen? Yeah.
Oh no, totally. I think Jurassic Park's really good with that.
Right. So then you're put in the position of like, wait, am I rooting for this person to die all of a sudden? And then you're put in the position of humanity where you're like, oh no.
Yeah.
And your ability to be scared in that moment means that you're not looking forward to him to being killed.
Right.
But I think that's what Steven Spielberg's great at.
One more thing about that scene is when like he knocks over the sign and he doesn't know what direction is the correct way. That's something that's very scary to me, is like being lost and not knowing which way to go and in like a dark place that's rainy. And
it's a wild island.
Yes.
Like,
I'm like, that's a very scary element of that scene as well.
And that's interesting because it's kind of a Looney Tunes thing, like a Wile E. Coyote.
When he, like, spins it.
Yeah, exactly. So it's great too that is a chaotic, scary moment because it's interesting the way it plays with the humor of it, which I think horror,
a
lot of horror is funny, intense moments.
Yeah, because it wants you, it's like, it's putting you in this, it's stretching the rubber band farther before it lets go.
And
that's what creates those wonderful dynamic moments when you're laughing and then, you know, or the other way, you know.
The most extreme feelings all at the same time.
Yeah, well, I mean, and it's interesting too, because the villain suddenly he loses all his power. I feel like that's kind of a convention in at least the horror movies where the bad guy does get their comeuppance. But also like Jurassic Park doesn't have any set rule for who deserves to die.
That's true. Yeah. Cause we do lose good people.
Cause it's like, I feel like you want to feel sad for the worker in the beginning.
Yeah. But we don't get enough character development for it.
Or it's almost like he's supposed to be just like the sucker. Like you pity him.
Yeah.
And then you like are supposed to kind of laugh at Gennaro, you know, cause he's like, what a sucker. But then like when Muldoon dies, that's like, oh no, you know, like he's like a good dude.
We're rooting for him.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And what's
Ray Arnold?
Jackson.
Yeah, yeah.
Wait, let's get into our top four.
Yeah, he's supposed to be horror. Let's see. Well, if we're just going to keep the round table going. I would say an underrated horror moment that I completely didn't, I'd never think of, but then when I actually was like just trying to consider the list. When Sarah and Kelly are in the tent in the Lost World, like yes. as far as like horror, you know, you see the shadow of right, the monster, mm-hmm. you know. Oh, yeah, yeah. But yeah, like for me, that scene, that kind of, and what's cool about it is it starts small. It's like, and it's, a, and also when everyone kind of realizes something is wrong, where it's like, you know, Malcolm, like, it's like too quiet and hears the footsteps, but everyone's asleep. Mm-hmm. And then Kelly realizes it because, you know, or Sarah, and you know, the way that it's like framed where like they're just laying this flat thing and you just see like the, in the sounds of like the T-Rex, like breathing like right in the tent, you know?
Yes.
Like
yeah.
it really puts you in there. And then the rest of this, and then it kind of explodes into a big action scene. But I do like how this little moment starts where it's just these two people in a tent that are like, because the baby Tyrannosaurus blood or whatever is like, you know, soaked in her jacket.
Oh, right.
You know? Oh, yes, yes, yes.
And so that's why the Rex is like, you know, tracing them or whatever. Mm-hmm. Tracing them.
He's an artist.
It's just my happy little delicious human food. But yeah, to me, I feel like as far as like almost more of like a throwback kind of like monster movie kind of thing with, yeah, like you're saying,
yeah, trapped in the woods in the tent.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
I think tents are terrifying because yeah. they are not real walls.
Yeah.
You're like, I'm here in this like abode, but not really.
A plastic, yeah, thing that just...
Anything could get you that wanted
well,
to.
Well, no, yeah, and then the Rex like puts her head in and like, I think it was the mom, or no, it was the bull T-Rex, is the daddy. Mm-hmm. Daddy-saurus, just like, you know, and just like is able to just like lift the tent up, you know, like.
Right. And know. It's just like the fragility in that moment where you're like, oh, I could just be thrown with a nose.
Yeah. 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 No, to me, I feel like that's an underrated scare, but I just like how intimate it is in yeah. kind of the Lost World where it is like all these hunters versus environmentalists and, you know, and. You know, then they go to the city or whatever. So yeah. it feels like a kind of a cool, small, scary moment in the middle of that movie.
You're right. I forgot about that moment. And I think it's a good pick.
What is your number
four? My fourth one is a little unconventional, but I feel like you might be able to meet me where I'm at with this one.
Okay.
I think the fourth scariest moment in the franchise is when they, in Fallen Kingdom, when they are fleeing the island and the fire's like ravaging everything yeah. and you don't know what's going to happen, and you see that basically once they're on the boats out, you see the animals like caught in like the fire and lava yeah, yeah. and you're watching these animals die and right. it's like there's so much, that whole scene, I mean it's like I want to say it's like 15 minutes of like really intense action
yeah.
and then it like turns into this like a very horrific scene of like death and loss that isn't really in any other Jurassic movie until then.
Well, it's like when the animals are like fleeing and they're like jumping off the cliff into the water. Mm-hmm. Is that what you said?
Yeah, yeah. I didn't say that part, but yeah, they're jumping off.
Oh, and also like Owen is running with them and like, they're just like, what the fuck do we do? And I feel like that's also like a very human moment with the animals where it's definitely. Like, what would I do? I'm like, exactly that, probably.
Well, I think that's the moment in that movie that flips the switch. And I think you make such a great point, Brenna, with saying Owen running alongside of them, where it's the moment where it's like, these animals are like people, like these are living, breathing creatures, and they're not the enemy, and they're not the progenitors of violence. Like yeah. they're yeah. actually the victims.
Right.
And that's when the movie flips and people are clearly the villains for the rest of the film.
Right.
Yeah. Huh. That's a really, yeah, I didn't
like,
think of it
so
that way.
I feel so sad right now for those animals.
It is kind of a sad, it's a little more of a sad moment, but I think it's like really, really
but
terrifying.
The horror yeah, of the situation.
Yeah, because if you saw people burning alive, which is used a lot in horror films, that's a poignant, violent, scary moment. And right. I think that this, in a movie about dinosaurs.
And there's like flying volcanic rock, like you know, trying to like dodge shrapnel, I think is a completely like scary thing.
Absolutely. And I didn't see it coming. Like I couldn't, I felt like it went there. You know yeah, what I yeah. mean? I was just like, oh, wait, we're going to see all these dinosaurs fucking die.
But it's, but at least like, at least it's, but in a way that I think probably makes it not horror, is it's not like you get a shot of, and I don't want to say gratuitous, but it's not, but in the sense that, again, the horror is much more of an existential, emotional horror.
Totally.
Versus like, if we just were like, yeah! You know, like right. just like dinosaurs like exploding.
Right. I almost don't even think that would be scary. It would be, that's when it goes over to schlocky almost, well, where it's yeah. just goofy violence.
Well, because there was the juvenile Allosaurus, like that is a comedic almost moment of like horror, or like comedic moment of like, again, that way of like the way that it's played, like it feels like it's played for laughs when the Allosaurus is like running, looks at Bryce and is like, and then pff, gets hit.
Yeah.
Like that
yeah.
is, that's not that, like that has a different resonance than when we're like watching the Brachiosaurus be swallowed up by the smoke, you know?
Yeah. I almost feel like the animal to human contact would be like recognizing that like the humans were there, like kind of being their caretakers.
Yeah.
Or whatever. And then like that, you know, the Allosaurus you said was like looking at her like, what do we do? Or like, what the fuck? And we're both in this.
Yeah, really. It's like, what the fuck, man? You know, like with a weird accent. What the fuck, man?
All right. My number,
what's your number four,
I stopped you with the Mr. Arnold because
Mr. Arnold.
Well, Mr. One Arnold. So, which I've called him before. So,
because he lives, the rest of him is out there.
So yeah, so Dr. Sattler like finishes doing her thing, like shutting down and restarting the system, and she like, you know, leans back in relief, and like suddenly an arm out of nowhere, a severed arm out of nowhere, like is on her shoulder, and she like is like, oh, Mr. Arnold. And then it's just his severed arm.
It falls down.
It falls down. So gory. So scary.
And it's all bloody.
Yeah.
Yeah. That wrecked me as a kid. I hadn't seen anything like that at that point in my life.
Yeah. Where's the rest of his body? I still want to know. Is he okay?
Well, and they supposedly were going to show more of it. And because Jurassic Collectibles, a great YouTube channel, they were like, when they were going through like the old props, they found one for Sam Jackson's leg as well. So like Ellie was going to see more of the like gruesomeness, and they were going to like film his death and everything.
Oh, wow.
But because of the hurricane, they just never got the shots.
Got it.
Interesting.
But yeah, you can, Jurassic Collectibles has a video on like the Ray Arnold's leg, you know, not just the arm that falls.
Oh boy.
Yeah. And I will save more thoughts because that your choice is a little bit higher on my list.
Oh, interesting.
That's, so
it's true. Mine's actually number three is the same.
Is the same one? Oh, yeah. I knew that there was going to be some overlap.
Yeah.
All right. Well, just because I had never seen anything like that at that point. And I've probably seen this like a few dozen times, this movie, and it still gets me every time.
All right, wait, like so let's just go into number three.
Yeah.
So that's
my number three.
Okay, great,
yeah, because I love there's like a, it's just extremely shocking. There's no, because we don't see the death happen. And I think that that is one of the things that makes it really scary. And in horror movies, when somebody dies before you know it and you're discovering it at the same time as the character, it really heightens the scare.
Yeah.
Because then you're placed in their shoes and you're like, wait, why isn't this person alive anymore? Like, of course, the gore of a great death scene is exciting and scary. But like to just have it have already happened is so shocking.
Well, and I feel like, because I'm even trying to think, because I feel like in some ways, is that a more effective scare? Because you're sort of reeling from, like you said, where it's like, oh, now I have to deal with the fact that this person, I feel like that's done a lot more these days in movies, where it's like you just kill off somebody really early and it's like the Game of Thrones style.
I was going to say, I feel like it's television for sure.
Yeah,
and people who are like the good people, because like in Jurassic Park at that point, it was just like villains, like the guy on the toilet had already.
Yeah.
He wasn't a villain as much as he was like a snivelly little snake.
He's the Paul Reiser.
He was a little weasel.
He was a weasel, yeah. But we hadn't seen anything bad happen to good people. So that was also really shocking because we had no reason to believe that he wouldn't have made it.
It would be, it'd be like if you killed off like one of the kids at the beginning of Jurassic Park.
Oh,
you know,
God.
You'd be like, whoa, I have no idea what's going
to
happen.
That would be an interesting place to take the series.
All right.
Macy gets eaten by Blue at the end. Blue turns, does a heel turn. So my number three is the raptors in the kitchen. I think as far as just like the most like solid, almost more like influential in kind of modern, not pure horror movies, these kind of like action adventure movies that have elements.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like nothing is copied more than the raptors in the kitchen.
Absolutely.
As far as like building suspense, showing, setting the stage, empowering the kids a little bit so that it doesn't feel like a lost cause.
Yeah, they're clever. They're smart.
Yeah. And I feel like, and again, that idea of like when we talked to Colin Trevorrow about watching Battle at Big Rock with Luna.
Uh-huh.
But in the same way, I think when you were a kid, like pound for pound, you were like, what would I do when, if I was in the kitchen with the raptors? I think everybody has put themselves, and that's something you put yourself in as a kid, you know,
yeah,
when you're
absolutely.
Like, oh my God, what would I do? Oh my God, Lex's trick is so cool when does the thing.
Absolutely.
Down.
And that's a move that wouldn't work if you were an adult. They only live because they're small enough to fit in there.
Yeah.
Well, I also think that like that film sort of like inadvertently taught kids like some sort of survival skills.
Yeah, very empowering. Yeah.
Yes.
Like, and kids aren't usually put in those positions, especially in adult films.
Yeah.
Where it's like, you don't get to be smart as the adults are.
Right. And well, I mean, and Lex gets that again when she like can hack the computer system.
But it all, it's all like this, it's like this heightened realm of empowerment, but it doesn't give it to you too easy, because I feel like as kids we would see that as like bullshit. We're like, oh my God, this is so exciting, like look what I could do.
Yeah, no, they're definitely terrorized a sufficient amount.
Yeah,
like they are in danger. It never feels like the danger is not real.
It's not that kind of like 90s like ironic sort of like, heh, raptors, whatever man, and they like throw a log and you're like, the raptors like,
yeah, they like put a backwards baseball cap on the raptor and the raptor's like, tubular.
Well, come on kids, stay in school. You know, it's cool. It does rule. I don't know, you know.
That's exactly what it would do if you put a backwards baseball hat on it.
A raptor? Totally. Yeah.
The raptor rap?
The raptor
so
rap.
Wait, this reminds me of my top three where it's like, the danger does feel real, but also at the same time, it doesn't, which would be the bridge scene in Jurassic World 3 when the Pteranodon appears.
Jurassic Park 3.
Jurassic. Oh, yeah, like, sorry.
Oh,
Jurassic.
My God. You're spoiling.
Who gave you an the extra early pass?
Sorry, you guys. My mouth said world, but my brain knew park.
The Pteranodon?
The Pteranodon on the bridge.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, it's like, it's like, yeah, very, very foggy. The adults are there. Like, they're finally back with their son. Love a good fog. Yeah. Love a
just
good
a lot
fog.
Of staring into a fog, like,
anything could be out there.
Drums in the deep.
So it's like there's the element of like chasing their survival, and also like being in like a literally heightened situation, like up on a bridge,
up high, which is always kind of adds the stakes.
Yes, I feel like the turn on itself is not super scary. It's like funny.
Well, it's a weird mix of like fear and humor, which I think Jurassic Park 3 was probably the best at.
Mm-hmm.
Where it's like the turn and like turns to the camera and is like, wink, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely.
It's like, I mean, I don't know. Like, I'm like, I guess that is a good middle ground for like a scariest moment, because there, I mean, I feel like there are a lot of scary moments in Jurassic Park 3, but I think like that's the most memorable because that's when Billy gets like, you know, taken.
Billy. Yeah, Billy. Yeah, you really feel for a minute that a character that you actually like is killed in a Jurassic Park movie, where it's played as more of a heroic, like sad thing versus like Eddie Carr, it's like kind of funny, even though he's a really, like after the fact,
that's true,
bad.
But Eddie gets ripped apart.
He gets fucking wishboned.
Yes.
Oh, God.
So, yeah.
But it's like, it's almost, again, it's that Jurassic streak of like sometimes the pitiful people who are like caught in the crossfire of like man's meddling. You
Eddie
know?
Was my honorable mention just because it was like the darkest moment in any of the films. I do feel like they kind of did it to appease a certain like hunger from the audience.
Yeah, man. Wouldn't it be so fucking awesome if some guy got ripped in half?
Oh,
yeah.
Oh, boy. Oh, Eddie Carr.
That's probably me as a kid. So
that's that Gorn we've been talking
I mean,
about.
Look, you read my fan fiction on the podcast.
Yes, that's true.
And you were like, I think you said like, has anybody talked to your parents about this like violence in your childhood?
Yeah, was this like an exercise that you did for your school counselor?
Yeah. She's like, and they killed them all. Well, yeah, because I think Jackie Johnson read the part where like a guy gets like smashed by a boulder. It just like into goo.
That's
and
fun.
I'm like, wow, as a 10-year-old, that was like
Gouda.
A lot of imagination.
Secret of the Ooze Ninja Turtles.
Yeah.
And goo.
Yeah.
Ooze and goo. Well, so take us to
top two. Yeah,
oh.
Yeah. Well, I was just going to say one last. The only other moment that I could see as being kind of scary, but also, again, like really amping up the humor is the horror of hearing the cell phone ring. And then it's like, oh, the last time that the cell phone was with, and, you know, referring to Nash, a guy who was eaten. So you're like, and then you turn around, you see the Spinosaurus and the thing's ringing in his belly.
Oh,
it's like funny and scary. It's again, the dread with a little bit of like ironic humor.
Yeah, and it was like the early days of cell phones too.
Yeah, yeah.
So they're like, how can we meld this new technology?
Right. Yes. I also love Jurassic. Wait, I just want to say Jurassic Park 3. I'm like, I just love how there is so much like
Alan and Ellie aren't together again.
Well, no. Just like the amount of careless yelling on the island is like so crazy.
What?
That also filled me with like a fear. Like, stop fucking yelling.
You know, yeah, people didn't know how to comport themselves on that island. Yeah.
Well, but I like that though, that anxiety of like,
you're doing it wrong.
Yeah. Hey, what are you? She's getting into my luggage.
Benny is unpacking for you.
That's nice,
you haven't
actually.
Yet.
We
she knows
her.
You have another place to go this weekend.
Oh. Well, no, but like the anxiety of like being in a crowded place, I feel like Jurassic Park 3 has a lot of those elements of like you're dying because of other people's incompetence.
Yeah.
Or like fear, you know, which I think Jurassic World has a little bit, but I think in the scene where all the tourists are like attacked by all the pteranodons and dimorphodons, it's almost like I wish they had done a couple more like close-ups of like somebody like throwing it at another person or like shoving them to get out of the way or something.
Yeah, I like that scene a lot. I was considering that scene for my top five, but it's almost too action-y. Like there's too much chaos, and I think chaos can be a little scary, but I didn't think it was. I thought watching the people get pierced by the pteranodons.
The pteranodons. Yeah.
Pteranodons.
Oh, yeah. The guy in the helicopter is like sitting next to Masrani. It's like, and you literally see like the life leave his eyes.
I thought that was.
I feel like I just got impaled.
Yeah. It was almost more cool, though. I don't know. It didn't feel actively scary.
Yeah.
Felt crazy.
Thinking about, again, the Carnosaur 2 scene where it's like all the deaths are like weirdly cheap and in shadow, and then they have this one woman who just gets like ripped apart. Like,
oh yeah, it has like brutally. A toxic Avenger stickiness to it. Yeah, just like why this latex, one scene? You know? Yeah, yeah, exactly.
But yeah, because its death was so gratuitous. It was almost like the, it was like the Jurassic World scene.
Yes, know? yeah, exactly. And it's like, I don't know if it's when something's PG-13, they're like, we can get one good
kill. Yeah,
yeah, like
one
gooey
good fuck,
death.
You know?
Yeah,
one good gooey death. Well, in a way, I've come to almost kind of, as Jurassic World gets older, I feel like I can just sit back and enjoy the schlockiness of
definitely
of Katie McGrath's death, of like something kind of like beautifully orchestrated, where it's like she gets picked up, she gets tossed around from different pteranodons, dunks in the water, gets picked up again, you know.
Yeah, definitely.
But whereas at the time it just felt like really weirdly
lazy,
mean-spirited.
I remember feeling that way, and that no one's life really, they didn't feel like life had as much meaning in
and also that, because in the original it was like Gennaro, ugh, we hate lawyers, whatever.
Totally.
But it's like, I was telling you, I remember at the time when the movie came out, like
Brenna.
a lot of Brenna, a lot
people
of
can't see
where a lot of people were like, wow, Colin Trevorrow in this script, he must assume everyone hates their assistants, you know.
Yeah, and it's like there's hardly any women in that movie anyways, and it's like they had to lose the one woman.
Well, it's
other than Bryce Dallas Howard.
I think technically somebody was saying that actually one of the female ACU soldiers in that first Indominus like aliens style like sequence, you know, and this movie, I didn't really put those moments in my list because those are so much. It's like
the aliens, cold open of the movie.
No, the like idea that you see like the heart meters, and it's like we're getting closer, like
right.
That. Like, I mean, that's just like classic action movie horror, like aliens. You know, when they're like following the beeps,
yes,
and then
yeah.
It's like they open it, and it's like a mouse or something, and then
right. Know. It's scary, but it's not like wow, you really also broke the mold on this one.
Yeah, it's like it's not scary anymore because we've gotten so used
seen
to it.
It's so
just
many
such
times.
A trope, you know.
Yeah, that's a great point.
But I feel like that's why like good horror movies or good movies can play on your expectations. Like
yeah,
that.
It picks something that is inherently scary and like takes a trope and then subverts it in a new creative way.
Yeah,
that's like really good scares are like defying your expectations.
Yeah.
Wait, what's our number two?
Yeah,
wait,
let's get to number two.
So my number two is what we mentioned before, the back in business moment. I just think like pound for pound, if we're just going to go like pure jump scare, that moment is every time just like leap out of my seat. I remember when I saw it in theaters again for the 20th anniversary, I remember I was sitting next to Dax, who we all know, past guest on the show.
Hi, Dax.
We were sitting next to each other, and this is IMAX theater, like the, you know, Mr. Herman, I think we're back in business. Wah! Like, I feel like Dax, like, went as high as, like, full head height. Oh,
amazing.
Like, as far as, like, just, you know, we've talked a lot about different kinds of, like, the way we're supposed to feel along with me. It's like a cocktail, scared plus this other thing.
Right. I feel
like this moment is just pure, like, jump, you know, which it's like, was such a great, like, it was perfectly placed well in that movie.
Totally.
Like, they don't overuse it, you know, because I feel like with bad horror movies, you're just, the jump scares just, after a while, you're just numb to them.
No, it's lazy because it's always like the swell of music. It doesn't have to be a well-placed jump scare is, I think, a tenet of horror.
Yeah.
But like I think you do have to earn it, and it can't just be like, that's what makes your movie horror is constant surprises. That's not enough.
Well, that's why I feel like The Shining, for a lot of people, even though it's considered one of the greatest horror movies, it's actually, it feels very atypical to a lot of, like, people haven't really been able to replicate what things are scary.
Yeah, because it's an uncanniness, and it's like a physical disturbance in your body when you're watching it, because you're like, this doesn't make sense. And a lot of the reason The Shining is really scary has nothing to do with what you know that you're seeing. It's because the halls were built. Right. Some of it's a set and some of it's a hotel. So, but the halls were purposely built to not connect, so that when you're watching it, you're like, each scene doesn't make sense when they're going down the hallways, because none of them really connect in real life. So it's like he's in a maze.
Yeah.
Does that make sense? Yeah. It's disorienting, but you don't know why it's disorienting. And it's like something that's on this other level.
Oh, wow.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
So now my number two scariest scene in the whole Jurassic Park franchise is, again, taking it back to the very first movie, when the T-Rex busts through the car and the kids are stuck and they are trying to hold him off with, like, the plastic roof of the car.
Lucy,
and
this is also my top two. This
really?
Scene.
Uh-huh. Yes. All right. Well, let's discuss it.
Number two for me. Yep.
With mouth.
So that's number two for you?
Well, so my number two starts at, I mean, when with, like, the water cup, the cup of water, and, like, you know some shit's going to go down.
Scene of all time.
Yes. That is also my number two top scariest moment.
But just the fucking mouth, when you can see that, like, this is what will kill me if I let go of this, and their children.
Oh, and like, it's the only strength thing that's in between them.
Yeah.
Oh, yes.
Also, like, the park fucked up, but those cars were pretty well made.
Yeah.
Considering that did not shatter under the strength of a T-Rex.
Yeah. Right. Whereas, like, the gyrosphere and Jurassic World easily got fucked up with the
thing. Well, and also, so that the glass wasn't supposed to break in that take.
Which
or
one?
Something.
In Jurassic Park?
In Jurassic Park. So the kids are genuinely, Irena Richards and Joseph Mazzello are like, I mean, the animatronic Rex just went and just, like, actually knocked it out.
That's hilarious.
Oh my God. I'm so scared right now.
Yeah. They were actually in peril.
Yeah, well, I don't know which shot. Like, is it going to, you know, because obviously you're a filmmaker. It's like, you're like, the whole thing wasn't done in one motion with four cameras. Yeah. So it's like, was it the moment when the Rex hit the glass, like, up, or was it the down shot of, like, when you see it come down on them and they're, like, holding it up?
Yeah. I definitely want more details on that.
Cause I don't know if, at least I don't have it in front of me, what moment was actually the moment that was, the moment that was actually,
like, the
accident.
Reason that broke it. Yeah. So, sorry, this is going back. What is it that takes the T-Rex away from the kids? Like, how do they get out of that moment? I'm blanking.
Flare. Yeah, the flare with
Is it Sam Neill has the flare?
Yeah. Oh, it's Sam Neill, and Ian Malcolm for some reason comes in and tries to be heroic. He's like, no, hey, I also have a flare.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I roll so big time.
That, I mean,
I just don't need Ian Malcolm to be heroic. That's not his thing. His thing is being open-shirted sexy.
Not until the next movie.
Is he going to be heroic? He's like an old man.
In the Lost World.
No, I thought you were like, I mean, I know that you have seen the new Jurassic World, but the rest of us haven't, Brenna, and stop rubbing it in our faces.
Oh, boy.
You're just secretly, you go back in time just to lord over us.
No. Like, in Jurassic Park, his role was not to be, like, a heroic father figure, but in the Lost World, it is.
Well, and it's almost like, I mean, we don't need to make this a critiquing Lost World podcast episode, but I almost wish that they would have made him more, you know, bumbling in a way. Like, he's the intellectual, and now he has to be the action hero. Like, he's clearly not capable. But they like kind of had elements of it, like when he's like dodging the raptors in the gas station, but they don't really kind of milk it at
again
all.
That's why Fallen Kingdom is really the superior. Okay, so in my mind, these are two franchises I feel like the same people aren't obsessed with, but in my mind, Jurassic Park the original and Fallen Kingdom are like it goes from one to the end, just like Halloween 1978 goes with Halloween 2018, and it's like nothing in the middle happened.
Oh, shit. Yeah.
And it's like the book ends, the newest and the oldest are perfect.
Right.
And I just feel like the last one is so canon.
We saw Halloween 2018 in the movie theater together.
It's one making of my
fun of podcasters. It's really
that's right.
The true enemies.
I know I've made it.
This can't turn into another Halloween podcast.
I know. I was going to say, Lisa's been on a lot of podcasts talking about horror
movies.
Talking
about how much I love the Halloween franchise.
This is going to be going on Halloween.
But yes, I'm telling you, the best thing about the trailers for Halloween 2018 is they didn't fuck up, they didn't give anything away, and they make the podcasters look like they're going to be in the movie for the entire time.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Oh, interesting. And I knew nothing about it when I saw it.
Oh, that's great. Even better. I watched the trailer so many times, so I was so excited. Halloween Kills comes out next year.
Wait, what? Should we go into our top? I mean, well, so Lucy and I have the same top two.
This will transition into, so for me, number one, because my number one is a different part of the road sequence.
I can't wait.
For me, again, each of these kind of horror moments or scary moments, it's vague because I think each of them kind of embodies different elements of like something that's scary. But I think for me, I like couldn't not pick because it's right after your moment.
Tell us.
Just holding it.
No, I love it. I love the suspense. The fucking water is like in the cup and it's jiggling as Steven's trying to make his point.
What is it?
No, so it comes after your moment of when Rexy slams through the window, but when Alan Grant holds up the flare and he's like, it's this like, I'm a man and I will stand up against the nature and against all this stuff.
The power stance.
And then the roar of Rexy.
Oh, the roar.
And as far as like, I don't think it matters what sound system it is, but that roar is the most perfect, terrifying roar where you almost, it's almost as if that thing is really in front of you in that moment.
Absolutely.
You physically respond to when Rexy roars at Grant in such a perfect way that it's like, it's terrifying, but respect.
It's bone chilling.
Well, and I've talked about on other pods, I did a thing with the Purrcast where I was like these aren't cats, but they were the birds of prey. And the way that they like, when this golden eagle that's like as tall as I am or, you know, half the height of I am, but like, you know, the thing with like a 10-foot wingspan, it was like looking at me and I was like a rabbit. Like I just like, oh, everything feels warm and fuzzy now. It's fine as I, you know, get swooped up by the raptor.
Yeah, it was like hypnotizing you.
And I think that Rexy in that moment is like the same way that like, I'm sure if you like were in a jungle somewhere and you stumbled across a tiger, like it would just look at you and you'd be like, your knees would just give out from you.
Total jelly.
Yeah. And I feel like in that moment, in Jurassic Park, the original movie, like in that moment, you're right there. It's all real. And
absolutely,
to me, that's why I had to make it to me the scariest moment in the movie.
Yeah.
All the franchise.
Lucy, what's yours?
My number one?
Yes.
Well, we already discussed it, but I think the number one scariest scene in all the franchise is those kids in that dang kitchen. Because listen, okay. A thing that we didn't discuss about that is the metal. Is like sounds of metal is just jarring. It is not a comforting sound ever. And so it's like everybody. There's the clicks of the raptor claws, which are gentle but terrifying. Kind it has like a Freddy Krueger kind of thing to it. They're so sharp. And we already see in the, you know, in the very beginning, in the opening, where Sam Neill is showing off how thick and scary the raptor claw is. And then we see them again close up with the children when they're actually going to get torn up.
They're kind of setting it up for you of how,
it's like
how the possibilities of how horrifying this could be.
Yeah. Cause he already described to that child how it was going to slit him across the
belly.
Yeah.
Spinning your intestines.
Right. Yeah, exactly. And he did that to a child, which seemed crazy, but then it's like, oh, here are these children that could happen to. And it's like, they're clanging and it's like impossible to be silent when everything around you is metal. And then when that ladle falls.
Yeah. Also, I'm like starting to bring up myself, but I'm like, I'm a chef and I live in a stainless steel world. I'm like, I love this scene now. But
It's like less scary. It's like more comforting to you.
would you have liked in this sequence? Like, I feel like a modern movie that would be paying homage to this would maybe have a scene where the kids turn the burner on and like burn the raptor's tail or something.
Yeah, it's like fire. I don't know.
Well, and then the other thing that's in that scene is then we see it open the door. And that's the first time that we are like, we hear talk of their ability to move in a way that other dinosaurs can't, but to actually see it open the door is like, oh, usually with monsters, you're like, if I can just get behind, or animals even, if I can just get into an abode or into a wall, and it's like, oh, there is nowhere where these people can go.
Oh, and even kitchens usually have galley doors, so it's like smart that they had like some sort of a small safety precaution.
But you're right, it is like the peak horror moment where it is like the music, the kind of like, wait, we learned that this thing could actually walk on land, you know?
Yeah.
It's like that kind of horror reveal of like,
well, I love that when all of a sudden your brain is putting things together.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh wait, no, they're not safe. And it's almost like when the guy Nedry. When he's like in the car, Newman, that's what I was thinking of. When he's in the car and you're like, you're safe, he's in the car. And then it's like, no, it's in the car. Which also happened in Carnosaur too.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh yeah, the helicopter.
Yeah. So it's, I like when things come together where you're like, okay, you think you can breathe a moment of relief, and then it's like,
you think you can eat your Jello in peace.
No.
But no.
Look, you're a new vegetarian. You don't know that Jello's made out of bone or whatever.
And horse hooves.
Yeah.
That's the real horror.
That's the real horror. So then that's your number one as well?
No.
Oh.
My number one.
Ooh, I like we all have different number ones.
Yeah, I like this too. I thought there'd be a lot more overlap than there is actually.
So my number one is something that scared me so much personally that I can remember where I was sitting in the theater.
Oh, I love that.
I was like fourth row on the left-hand side of the theater if you're facing the screen. It is the intro to The Lost World when the family is like for some reason docked and like has like servants like serving them champagne and the little girl like is eating her sandwich and exploring the beach.
It's like so idyllic, but like it's a little tense.
Yes. And then the compies suddenly show up and she's like, hi, you're so cute. And then they attack the shit out of her as far as we know. But that's another scary element is we don't know what happened to her. We think that she died.
Yeah.
Because the moment is bookended by like a terrifying scream.
Yeah. But her mother screams. And like, so the reason why that's my number one is because I think that's like really the only thing that I had nightmares about after seeing any of the movies in the franchise.
Really? Okay.
Oh yeah, when I was a kid, because I would have been like 10 or 11 years old.
I've never had nightmares about dinosaurs.
Well, I think it was mostly
we're here to play with you, Steven, in your dreams.
Yeah, it's always like the happiest moment. You're just kicking a soccer ball back and forth with the raptors.
For some reason, like that girl, I think because I was 10 or 11 when I saw that, I was like, oh, this could be me. And like, I'm a fancy bitch. Like, I, just
not
kidding.
Servants on a beach fancy.
I grew up in West Jordan, Utah, which is where I was living at the time. I'm like, but for sure, I'm going to
end up on an island. Is that a name drop? Nobody, does that mean like, is that a richest place in Utah?
Not at all. It's on the west side, girl.
The Beverly Hills of Salt Lake City.
It's on the west side. No.
So wait, I don't remember. You don't see what happens to her.
You don't know if she's like scarred for life from the compies. You don't know.
Yeah, but with the mother screaming, it's implied that she's just like a bloody pulp, right?
Yeah.
Just a bunch of little baby compies like ripping this girl.
Yeah. So I feel like that's a real Hereditary moment.
But
where
they
Tony,
do.
You never see in Hereditary, you never see the kid. Wait, have you guys seen Hereditary?
No.
We haven't seen Hereditary.
Well, there's a part where you don't see someone's dead body, but you hear somebody's reaction to it.
Hammond later, when he's talking to Ian Malcolm, talks about like the girl who was attacked and like she's fine. And I think he even says she's fine.
Yeah, literally.
Yeah, she's
I'm
fine.
Like, Spielberg, you didn't have the guts to kill her. That's not true. Actually, Michael Crichton didn't kill her either.
Because
that scene is in the original book, and it's like, again, it's like, you know, she's fine at the end.
Wait, so
like,
what happens to create that scream?
I mean, that's something we don't know. The Clumpies attacked her.
Well, yeah.
Several of them, we assume.
Yeah. Oh, and I wonder, too, if they were, like, thinking, like, in the book. Because it's like when dinosaurs bite you, they have some sort of poison that, like, modern reptiles have.
Or, like, so maybe snake, like a rattlesnake.
So maybe she was, like, swollen
right.
all up. Like, she was, like, the blueberry in
Wonka. they just rolled her off the beach.
Yeah.
I will say, though, that not seeing things, it is a big trope of horror is that sometimes what you can't see is even scarier because your mind wanders.
Well, also after seeing Jurassic Park and then seeing that movie in the theater and that being the opening scene, I think that was like an incredibly strong opening for something very scary.
Definitely.
True. Lost World, yeah, it kind of is defined with some of the darkest dark moments, but in a way it's like it's you kind of forget about it. Like, you know, it's the only Jurassic movie where you have like the most graphic dinosaur violence in it.
Definitely.
You know, with Vanessa Lee Chester when Kelly kicks the raptor and you see it literally get impaled. Like, you know, the Indominus gets eaten in Jurassic World.
Speaking of impaled, I also deeply hate the Indoraptor's death, which is also an impalement.
Yeah, yeah. But that's pretty epic, you know? And then Blue like slides down, like turns the hat around. Hey, kids. We'd like to talk to you about DARE. Drugs, awareness, rehabilitation.
Education. Entertainment. That's the new DARE program.
Wait. See, instead of thinking red, think blue. And then it's like,
and he has a guitar
that is like on his back that he spins around to his front.
Cool. And like Bootsy Collins style, like sunglasses.
Absolutely.
Blue, she would rock at being a spokesperson.
So she kills the Indominus Rex, right?
Indoraptor. The Mosasaur eats the Indominus Rex. And then the Indoraptor dies because Blue knocks him like on the triceratopsian spikes.
Right. I'm okay with the dinosaur on dinosaur violence. It's the human on dinosaur violence that I'm like, this just bums me out.
Well, if we're going to reflect back to our Carnosaur 2 episode, I don't think that the filmmakers wanted you to feel bad for the dinosaurs in Carnosaur. But
no.
Yet when we're seeing this long extended motion of like,
I was upset by that.
Yeah, I was like, I feel for the Carnosaurs.
Well, and that's the thing that, again, is so strong about this series. And if you're listening to this podcast, you don't need us to tell you why Jurassic Park is so good. But the humans are so interesting and like humanized and they have a lot of depth to them. And so do the dinosaurs.
Yeah.
Whereas like in a movie like Carnosaur, the humans don't have any depth. And the dinosaurs still come off looking great, even though they aren't really very well. They're not even trying to.
Yeah.
But it's like a movie or a series or a franchise that can make you feel for the villains. And then it's like, who's the real villain?
Right.
Like very powerful stuff.
Yeah. I know that I'm like, are they going to kill off any of the original trio in Jurassic World 3? I feel like
I don't want to. I don't want to talk about it. I don't want to talk about it.
Yeah. I know that you've already seen it, so this is old hat to you, Brenna. But some of us need to dream still. Okay.
Yeah.
I won't tell you what happened. Sorry.
Hey.
Like
thank
I want
y'all.
Blue to like, or what if like Blue dies like saving Grant or something?
What
or
if Blue and Owen die together, and then I don't know why that.
What if Owen starts dying and Blue gives him mouth to mouth?
I've always loved you. Well, and if you search the internet, if you say Blue fan art, you can find like people drawing Blue as like a woman.
With boobs?
Boy. Yeah, yeah.
With bloobs.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't want to yuck anyone's yum, but I'm about to a little bit. I really hate the way that people anthropomorphize like cartoon animals. Like, I don't care about like whatever is in your head, but if I accidentally run across like a My Little Pony with tits, it ruins my day.
Yeah.
It's just, I don't like it. I just don't. And I'm taking a hard stance and I'm sorry, but that's how I feel. I just don't want, Brenna is caressing a dinosaur. And listen, Brenna, I know you're having a nice time, but I don't want to see its tits.
I'm just hugging.
Look at the jugs on that Brachiosaurus.
Large Brachiosaur.
Oh my God. You mean a Jugosaurus?
There's no jugs on this girl.
No, Mattel would be twisted if they did that.
That's like an expansion pack you have to buy.
Oh,
well,
no.
Well, no, because on the original, because all the original Kenner toys all had that like real feel skin.
We did say that we were going to like put this Brachiosaur in costumes and stuff for different holidays. I forgot until right this moment.
That's okay. Yeah. Holidays come every year all at the same time.
Well, different year. Times, but at
different
this...
times, but at the same time each calendar year.
Right.
No, but the no, but the because they were all like rubbery skin and stuff. But then like they would always have like a weird triangle point like in between the legs, and I'm like, is that just supposed to be like skin, or is that just where the junk is supposed to be?
Oh, you mean like Ken's
Barbie
penis?
Style?
Oh yeah. Ken's non-penis.
Yeah, it's just more of the point where it was this thing as like a kid where it's like. The little triangle, like rubbery yes. point.
That's just what a dino dick looks like.
They're
like
trying to protect us from a what?
A giant dino dong.
Okay.
Which I think you
from
could,
like a weird barbed.
I want to
like,
know
situation.
More about that.
Do you think they're barbed? I don't feel like lizards
or birds. No, ducks do. They have corkscrew.
Yeah.
Maybe they just rub necks.
Wait, is this something no one's talked about before? Because now I'm extremely fascinated.
I know, me too.
I was like, I definitely haven't looked into it, but I definitely know there's like a book on like, they like speculate of how like dinosaurs mated and stuff like that.
And that's for next time.
Another. Again, the true horror of the miracle of life.
Wait, when are we? Yeah, when are we do the dinosaur? Sex podcast.
Pretty
medical
soon.
Cloning.
See Jurassic
for
right
Christmas.
After dark.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that'll be our Valentine's Day episode. You'll have to come back for that.
Yeah.
See Jurassic wrong.
Yeah. Oh, boy.
So wrong. So bad. Are you a bad dinosaur? Are you a clever girl?
Oh. Oh, my God. What number do I call to get this?
Well, I think that's a great note to end the podcast on.
Absolutely.
Thank you, Luce. Thank you, Brenna, for joining me.
Absolute pleasure. I especially love leaving it on such a sexy note.
Yeah, sexy Halloween.
People demand sexiness on Halloween, but I bring it all year long.
It's true, she does. I can vouch for you.
You can see me at LTB Comedy on Twitter and Instagram to see me bringing that hot, hot sex.
I'm at Beeksels. On Instagram, at Bonnie Puns on Twitter, and Brenna in real life.
Yeah, thanks everyone for listening. Hope everyone has a good Halloween. Have either of you done, well, we've done now sort of Jurassic Park costumes together.
Jimmy Buffett, we both were last year.
I loved that costume. Yeah, I've never been a Jurassic Park
or
a dinosaur, which is insane, and I don't understand why. All through school, I was always people. I never was an object or an animal, except for when I was like four, I was a bat.
Nice.
It was a great costume. I really want to bring it back.
The director of Bats directed Carnosaur 2.
Oh, yeah.
Bats.
I need to see Bats.
Yeah, together.
We'll do that as a creature feature.
I think
that counts. I think it's in the realm of...
Definitely, because they're like the pterodactyls.
Yeah, yeah.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
Let the record show that I did a little chicken.
She did some flapping, and I didn't give it the credit it deserved.
Yeah, I've actually done more costumes not on Halloween than I did Timmy one year, and then we did Jimmy Buffett, Margarita Man. But yeah, like when I've done Ian Malcolm or Grant, it's been for like videos or conventions.
You did Ellie Sadler last year, I thought.
And that was for JP25.
Right. Oh, that's right.
Yeah, so it's never
that
really
was a
been
really
for Halloween.
Good.
But
My friend Emily Behrens, who is a reality TV producer, did an incredible Ellie Sadler last year. I have a picture of it because she sent it to me and I thought it was so good that then I saved it onto my camera roll like she was my daughter and I showed so many people.
I love
the
costume.
That. Just so proud of my friends, you know,
good.
And they do a good job. I want everyone to know it.
Yeah. Every time I see a great costume, I'm like. Like this weekend, you know, because since Halloween is kind of in the middle of the week.
Yeah.
People did Halloween last weekend and everyone's like costumes. I'm just like, I mean, also shout out right now. Chris Bramante just came out with a new Halloween video about adults still wanting to do Halloween, which I'm sad Chris couldn't be here for this, but you'll hear him in the Carnister episode. But he actually just released, I'll put a link to it, his music video, where it is basically about adults who like still like to do Halloween. It's really cool.
I love that so much.
Also, yeah, we'll shout out to Chris. I just went to Halloween Horror Nights with him on Sunday.
Oh yeah,
and had a great time.
And I'm Rich going too.
Rich and who Alex
has a rich family history
and with Universal.
Jurassic and Universal.
Yeah.
I'm going on Friday.
Oh yay!
Yeah, oh wait, did they change anything for the Jurassic World ride for the Horror Nights?
No. Oh, okay. I was gonna like build some suspense. I'm like, but no.
Because
no.
People would say that they used to like throw on like leather jackets on the raptors, the That's animatronics, funny. And sunglasses.
There
and,
was nothing different.
Oh, okay. Oh,
they didn't even try to put like a sheet over them. A little lazy ghost.
Not even in the
ghost
digital
dinosaurs.
Nothing in the digital part. No ghosts floating around in the water with the shark, with the mosasaur. Nothing.
Well, I haven't ridden the Jurassic World ride yet, so I'm really excited about
that.
Yeah,
good. It was very fun.
That'll be a good
night.
Horror experience.
Good. It was great.
It's great at night. Yeah, I love it at
it's
night.
It's super fun.
All right, everybody.
Send us your costumes.
Yeah, send us your costumes.
I want to see everybody's costumes.
Yeah, I'll post a thread on social and everyone can share it and share it in the Facebook group and all that stuff. See Jurassic Great. Rate, review, do all the good things.
Send me dino dongs at LTB Comedy.
Oh my God. Don't send them to me just to lose it.
They have to be dinos, though.
Well, scalies
can't
or featheries, right? Or scalies or fuzzies.
Scaly or fuzzy, but it's got to be dino. It's got to be a real dino.
All right.
Goodbye.
You've got your call to action, Murder Squad. No. You got your call to action. Hold on to your butts, because a monster might want to bite them.
Happy Halloween.
Happy Halloween. Wait, what?
What?
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.